Now, again, a very, very warm welcome. We appreciate your taking time on a Sunday night to be with us for this brief hour. And before speaking from the Word of God, we'd like to speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we bow together in thy presence, conscious that the eye of God is upon us. We do thank thee for the words we have given utterance to in this hymn, that we can sing of redemption, of forgiveness, of salvation available through the blood of thy Son. We give thanks to thee once more for the grace of God that has brought salvation, and look to thee now that as the word of God is opened, as its truth, as its teaching is emphasized, that the Spirit of God would open blind eyes and open deaf ears to receive a message and to see a Savior provided by the goodness and grace of God. We are helpless. We need God for help in the meeting tonight. Thank thee for all who have taken time to come, and that all might leave with something from the Word of God as a help to them. We look to thee now again in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now again, thank you very much for being here. Some may not know me and may think my accent quite strange. My name is Sandy Higgins, and I come from that faraway country called the USA, and I live in the state of New Jersey. If you don't know where that is, you don't have to apologize. I did not know where Dunedin was until I knew I was coming here and had to look on a map. So if you don't know where New Jersey is, that's very understandable. But I'm happy to be with you, and I hope that my accent doesn't prove a barrier to your understanding what we want to present to you tonight of the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to ask you, if you have a Bible, to turn to a book called Colossians. It's in your New Testament, maybe two-thirds of the way through. And if you have a Bible, it's good to turn to it. If you don't, just pay attention and listen well. Colossians and chapter number 1. We'll just take a minute. Those who are looking and trying to find it can find it. If you don't have a Bible, just follow along and listen. Colossians in chapter 1, and we are reading at verse number 12. This is a man named Paul. Some refer to him as Saint Paul, the Apostle Paul. He is writing to people who live in an area of Asia Minor, and he is saying, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet or fit or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, just down to verse number 21 of the same chapter, and you that were sometime or once alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, I think God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. The country I come from, I think you don't have that problem here. The country I come from, one of our biggest problems in America, and there are many problems, please, I know there are many problems about America. One of the biggest problems is the problem of immigration, how people come from one country into another. In our country, a lot do it by illegal methods, illegal means, crossing borders by night. There's a whole industry that has sprung up across the U.S.-Mexican border. Sole purpose is to get people smuggled in to a country illegally. They're called coyotes, and you pay your price, and they get you in illegally. And then you have to fend for yourself once you're there. We have read of a great immigration, an immigration, though, that is totally legal. Taken out of one country, one kingdom, and brought into another kingdom. We read of being taken out of the kingdom of the darkness of this world and translated, immigrated, brought over, taken over into the kingdom of his dear Son. So a tremendous thing to talk about tonight, that you could actually be taken out of a spiritual realm of sin and death and doom, and leave this meeting knowing you are going to be in heaven eternally safe. I want you to think, first of all, of what this verse tells us of. These verses we read in verses 12, 13, and 14 are tremendous verses. They actually announce to men and women the forgiveness of sins. We read together, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. I don't know if you can appreciate tonight how wonderful a message that is. How tremendous a possibility it is that you've come to a meeting and your conscience, your heart, your life tells you, yes, I have sinned. I know that. I know I'm a sinner, and I know that I do things that are wrong, and I know that I can't help myself. Habits, things that I do keep happening all the time. I know I'm a sinner. But actually, the Word of God, this book, this Bible we have in our hand, is actually here to tell you how you can have tonight the forgiveness of sins. Could I tell you, first of all, about the need for the forgiveness of sins? We read together already that we were once alienated. That means strangers. That means people who had no right to be in this country. Once alienated, and not only that, but we were enemies. You may say, enemies of who? Enemies of God. Our will opposed to God's will. Or you may say, well, is sin that bad? Sin is that bad. Every sin at its kernel. You know, when you think of really reducing something to its bottom line, taking something, a concept, and really reducing it to its elemental, basic tenets. Every sin is telling God, I want to be on the throne of my life and not you. I want to be my God and not you. So that every sin really makes us an enemy of God. That's how tremendous sin is. Now, we're not here to tell you about just the little white lies and little things you have done. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that there is none righteous, no, not one. So we're not picking on anyone tonight. No nationality, no ethnic group, no religious group, no cultural background, wherever the case is. All have sinned. I have flown 10,000 miles, and you could have blindfolded me and taken me off the plane, walked me down the tarmac, brought me to this pulpit, kept my eyes blindfolded, told me what to tell sinners who I had never seen before, and I would have the very same message that I preached 10,000 miles away to a different audience altogether and tell you that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you must realize in the heart of hearts that you with your sin could never stand before a God of infinite holiness. So you've got a problem. You may say, well, you're awfully bold talking like that to us. Well, I had the problem too. There was a day in my life, a young person of 21 years of age, away in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the USA, when I suddenly awoke to realize that despite thinking I believed and that I was all fine, suddenly awoke to realize that I was a sinner bound for hell. And not only that, but the tremendous awakening that there was nothing I could do about it. I want to tell you, that's the most helpless feeling in the world. To suddenly be confronted with your sin, with your guilt, with a realization that I'm not fit for heaven and I can't do a thing about it. And the wonderful message that we're going to tell you in the gospel tonight is, well, there's nothing I could do about it. God has done everything. So could I tell you not only of your need of forgiveness, could I tell you about the motivation for it? It all begins with God. It all begins with what God has done. God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even then. Let me quote to you what Paul writes elsewhere to a man named Titus. He said, we also once ourselves, Paul's including himself, including Titus, including me, including everyone here, we also ourselves were once disobedient, deceived. We were serving as slaves, divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, full of hate, and hating one another. But he said, after all of that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. You see, salvation really begins with God. This whole business of the forgiveness of sins is something that God undertook himself. He realized there was nothing we could do. No amount of religion, no amount of believing real hard, no amount of giving, no amount of good works, no amount of social involvement. None of that will put sin away. God had to be the one that began the whole process. So that is the motivation, God's tremendous love. Could I tell you as well about the measure of forgiveness? God doesn't just forgive some sins. Listen to what Paul said one day. He went to a city that's now a part of what is the land of Turkey in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. And he said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, all of you, that through this man is preached, declared unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him, all who believe are justified from all things. Isn't it tremendous that God actually tonight is able to announce to you the possibility of all sin being forgiven, of the slate being wiped clean, of God being able to bring you into his heaven? We're not here just to tell you about how to clean up your life and, you know, okay, the past is the past, you can't change it. Maybe from here on you can do better now. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is a message that tells of the forgiveness of all sins. But I want you to think as well of the means by which God can forgive sins. Listen to again what we read in Colossians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Sin had to be judged. Sin had to be punished. God's holiness demanded that sin had to be punished. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to a cross 2,000 years ago, a place called Calvary, and gave his life, shed his blood. Listen to what the Word of God says. When we were yet without strength, helpless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Listen again to what the Word of God says. Christ also has once suffered for sins. He had none of his own. It was the just for the unjust to bring us to God. He went to a cross, shed his blood, so that forgiveness could be offered tonight. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What a tremendous thing that tonight God is able to forgive sins and to make you fit for heaven. Sin is a very real thing, isn't it? It bothers people's consciences. It keeps people awake, some people at night. Makes people wonder about what's going to happen when life is over, about what will happen on the other side of death. We have become so earth conscious, so earth bound in our thinking, so tied to entertainment, to technology, to all that is happening around us, the noise of life. And yet sometimes, in the quiet moments of your life, there steals into your mind the thought, is this all there is? Is really this all there is? I mean, do you really think this is all there is? Just, you know, get as much as you can today and just enjoy what you can because this is all there is? Doesn't it ever come into your mind that there has got to be something more than this? That we were creatures made for eternity. The forgiveness that God offers is a forgiveness of all your sins. But this verse tells us not only about forgiveness. This verse tells us about freedom. It uses a word that maybe we're not familiar with. So let me just tell you about it. It says, in whom we have redemption, to be redeemed. The word literally means to be set free, to be loosed, to be let go. We are reminded in this verse that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, the darkness. We've been redeemed, set free. Could I tell you about the wonderful story of redemption, of the Savior who came to redeem, to set people free from sin, from sin's dread consequences of being in hell eternally, of perishing and being separated from God forever? My brother sometimes says, so let me just quote him, Eternity is too long to make a mistake. Don't make a mistake about this thing called salvation. Don't make a mistake about your soul. Eternity is too long to make a mistake. You making a mistake tonight? Just thinking everything is okay. You know, I went forward. I once gave my heart to the Lord. I once did this. I once did that. But never really have come in contact with the Christ of God and His salvation. This tremendous freedom is freedom from sin's consequences. Tremendous thing tonight to think that you could be free of the consequence of sin, of separation from God eternally. That you could be free not only from sin's consequences, but from sin's chains. You know those habits? You know those things you do that you wish you didn't, you could somehow stop? Those words, those actions, those things that you do that you wish somehow I could somehow get away from it. That's sin's chains. Those are the enchaining power, the enslaving power of sin. He came to redeem. You likely don't know the history, and I wouldn't expect you to, of the American Civil War and slavery in the U.S. Back in the 1860s, when slavery was an institution in the southern part of the U.S., there was a woman who was working on a farm, a plantation. And she was tired of being a slave. She wanted freedom. She wanted to be rid of the chains of slavery. She told her husband, and he told her, just be quiet. Don't talk that way. If you talk that way, I'm going to tell the master. And so she realized she had a choice to make. And she decided one night that she was going to flee. She couldn't read, as most of the slaves were kept in ignorance. Someone wrote on her hand a word. P-E-N-N-S-Y-L-V-A-N-I-A. Pennsylvania. And they told her, when you see that sign, when you run north and you see that sign, that means you are free, that you are free. And she recounts in her story, they called her the Moses of the South. She recounts in her story as the dogs and the hunters chased her, as she made her way through swamps and bogs and woods and forests, and she finally crossed the line over into the state of Pennsylvania. She says, I thought I was in heaven. The air never seemed so pure. The ground never seemed so firm when I was finally free. I'd like to be free tonight from sin and all of its dread consequences and all of its chains and all of its enslavement, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That's where it's found. It's found in Christ. Found in what He has done at Calvary. When He died to put sin away by the sacrifice of Himself. Freedom from sin. But this also tells us something. It just keeps getting better. You'll forgive me if I tell you, it just keeps getting better. It tells us about being fit. It tells us that what Christ has done at Calvary, the salvation He provides, makes men actually fit for heaven. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us fit, made us meet, made us able to stand before a God of infinite holiness. Without so much as a blush, without so much as embarrassment, to actually be able to stand before God, fit to be in His presence. Tremendous thing to think that God can take sinners. God can take people who are enslaved to sin, break their chains, and make them fit for heaven. That's what Christ can do for you tonight. God doesn't point you to religion. We're not here preaching religion. We're not here preaching about joining our church. We're not here tonight to tell you about what you've got to do and the different steps you have to go through. This is not a 12-step self-improvement program to make you fit for heaven. This is all about what God can do and what God has done when He sent His Son to Calvary, when He did all that was needed to put sin away and to make salvation possible. He has left nothing for you to do. Just to receive the gift He's offering of eternal life, of salvation, of forgiveness. All of this is a free gift. We are reminded elsewhere that by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself, nothing to do with you. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what God can do tonight, to give you this new life, this salvation that he is offering. It makes you fit for his presence, makes you fit for heaven. It makes you absolutely ready to die. But it also makes you ready to live. Makes you ready to live as well as ready to die. God's great salvation that he offers tonight because of what his son did upon a cross. Forgiveness, freedom, fitness. Does it get any better? Yeah, it keeps getting better. He says you've been made an heir. You've actually got an inheritance coming to you. You're actually given something. Not only does God take your sins away, but he's actually giving you something. He tells us here, we've been made fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You actually now, God is actually giving. He gives eternal life and he just keeps giving, keeps giving. If we were to take a poll, a canvas, a survey of 1,000 people, 999 would think that God is a God who is taking people's fun, taking people's joy, taking people's money, taking people's time. Yeah, a God who's always on the take. Tremendous truth is the exact opposite. We've got a God who just keeps giving. Gave his son, gives us eternal life, gives us blessings, gives us an inheritance, gives us joy. The God who gives, the giving God. That's the God we're here to tell you about tonight. Not a God who takes, but a God who gives and gives. Elsewhere, it speaks of him in 1 Timothy chapter 6 of a God who gives liberally, who gives generously. That's the God we have. We'd long that you would know this God for yourself. A God who gives. He makes us meet to be inheritors. But let me mention one other thing. More could be said, but to respect the time for our brother Bivin. Did you notice we read in verse 21 that people who were enemies, people who were aliens, foreigners, it says he has reconciled us. Reconciled us. Do you know what the idea of being reconciled is? It means you're made a friend. You're made a friend. God actually wants sinners to be his friends. I mean, you look at the litany now of blessings we've looked at. Forgiveness, freedom, fitness, furnished with everything God wants to give us, and actually made friends of God. Let me quote to you what Paul writes in another occasion. He says, we have been reconciled to God, made friends of God by the death of his son. Does it mean anything to you tonight that God thinks so much of you? That God loves you so much, he actually gave his son to die upon a cross to make you his friend. And you're keeping him at arm's distance tonight. You know, don't get too close. Leave me alone. Just don't press me about this thing. And yet God gave everything. Gave his son so that you could be a friend of God. What a tremendous God we have. What a tremendous work he has accomplished. What a tremendous invitation he gives to men and women. Elsewhere we read these wonderful words. He that believeth on the Son, the one who takes the Son as his Savior, has everlasting life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, the giving God, that whosoever believes in him, receives him, accepts him as Savior, will not perish but have everlasting life. You may have read, it was back at Christmas time of this past year, I think it was, that the man who had been a personal valet for the Pope had been convicted of smuggling information out of the Vatican to newspapers. He had done it sincerely with the idea that he was hoping to expose some corruption and hoping that it would actually improve things. But he was found guilty and he was convicted of his wrongdoing, and he was in the Vatican prison as a result of his wrongdoing. Christmas Day, I think it was, or Christmas Eve, he was visited by the Pope, and the Pope gave him a pardon, forgiveness. But he was told he could never step foot in there again, had to leave, had to go somewhere else. Now, that was very magnanimous, to be forgiven for betraying the confidence of your superiors. Very magnanimous of the Pope to do that. But you see, everything that human beings do is small compared to what God does. He was forgiven, but sent away. God wants to forgive you tonight and bring you near, make you a friend. Listen again to what Paul has written as I close. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Taken out of the authority of darkness, translated, brought over, carried in, stepping across the boundary into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's where God wants to put you tonight. Christ has done everything necessary for the forgiveness of your sins. Not asking for you to come forward, not asking for you to give your heart away, not asking for you to say a prayer, to do certain things, to pay a certain amount of money. Just asking you to believe the report, to believe the message that there is forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help you tonight to just come to his Son and receive him as your Savior.